Reading from the Bhagavad Gita today on Nityananda Trayodashi. Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram, who is the first expansion of Krishna. Ramadi muti shukalani amina tishta nana avatara makarod bhuvanesha kintu Krishna swayam samababhat parama pumanyo govindamari purusham tamaham pachami. Krishna expands himself, as the Bhagavatam explains, as there are waves coming on the ocean, one after the other after the other. Krishna's making manifestations of his different incarnations. Departure eva hirashantanam abhyupeta dipayate vrvata hesu samana dharma. That they're like, there's one candle, that's the original candle, and it lights many other candles. And they're the same in the quality, but they expand unlimitedly. So Krishna has expansions. His first expansion is Lord Balaram. And Lord Balaram expands himself into Mahashankarshan and into the Chaturvyuha, Vasudev, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. And he, in that way, manifests all the material worlds. And also, Lord Balaram serves Krishna. Although he's a manifestation of Krishna, he's different only in one way, and that is in bodily features. Lord Balaram is white in color. Krishna is blackish. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in this world, he also appears with Balaram, who is Nityananda. And he serves Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sankirtan movement in many significant ways. And I'm going to read a verse from the Bhagavad Gita, and then we can say some things about Lord Balaram. This is the second chapter, 13th verse. I'll say, please repeat. Dehi no smin yata dehe.
Dehi no smin yata dehe.
Kumaram yovanam jara.
Kumaram yovanam jara.
Tata dehantara praptir. Dhiras tatra namuyati. Hare Krishna. Translation, as the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. Purport. Since every living entity is an individual soul, each is changing his body every moment, manifesting sometimes as a child, sometimes as a youth, and sometimes as an old man. Yet the same spirit soul is there and does not undergo any change. This individual soul finally changes the body at death and transmigrates to another body. And since it is sure to have another body in the next birth, either material or spiritual, there was no cause for lamentation by Arjuna on account of death, neither for Bhishma nor for Drona, nor for whom he was so much concerned. Rather, he should rejoice for their changing bodies from old to new ones, thereby rejuvenating their energy. Such changes of body account for varieties of enjoyment or suffering according to one's work in life. So Bhishma and Drona, being noble souls, were surely going to have spiritual bodies in the next life, or at least life in heavenly bodies for superior enjoyment of material existence. So in either case, there was no cause for lamentation. Any man who has perfect knowledge of the constitution of the individual soul, the supersoul, and nature, both material and spiritual, is called dhira, or a most sober man, for such a man is never deluded by the change of bodies. The Mayavadi theory of oneness of the spirit soul cannot be entertained, on the ground that the spirit soul cannot be cut into pieces as a fragmental portion. Such cutting into different individual souls would make the supreme soul cleavable or changeable against the principle of the supreme souls being unchangeable. As confirmed in the Gita, the fragmental portions of the supreme exist eternally, sanatana, and are called shara. That is, they have a tendency to fall down into material nature. These fragmental portions are eternally so, and even after liberation, the individual soul remains the same, fragmental. But once liberated, he lives an eternal life in bliss and knowledge with the personality of Godhead. The theory of reflection can be applied to the supersoul, who is present in each and every individual body and is known as the Paramatma. He is different from the individual living entity. When the sky is reflected in water, the reflections represent both the sun and the moon and the stars also. The stars can be compared to the living entities and the sun or the moon to the Supreme Lord. The individual fragmental spirit soul is represented by Arjuna, and the Supreme Soul is the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. They are not on the same level, as it will be apparent in the beginning of the fourth chapter. If Arjuna is on the same level of Krishna with Krishna, and Krishna is not superior to Arjuna, then their relationship of instructor and instructed becomes meaningless. If both of them are deluded by the illusory energy, Maya, then there is no need of one being the instructor and the other the instructed. Such instruction would be useless, because in the clutches of Maya, no one can be an authoritative instructor. Under the circumstances, it is admitted that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Lord, superior in position to the living entity, Arjuna, who is a forgetful soul deluded by Maya. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a story about the king of Ushinara, and he fights valiantly in a battle and is killed. And he's a much loved king in his kingdom, and all his relatives, his wives, his children, his subjects come to the battlefield after the dust has settled, and they find him with his teeth sunk into his lips, that he was biting his lips very hard when he died, and his body was broken, and he's lying there on the ground. And all of his followers began to cry. And then a young boy appeared on the scene and was sober and simply watching, and then laughed. And everyone stopped to see, because when a young boy comes somewhere and has a different kind of demeanor, then people want to know what he's thinking. And he said to them, "Why are you all crying?" And they said, "Because our king, our husband, our father, he's dead." And he said, "What is the meaning of this death? What do you mean by dead?" And he said, "Can't you see? He's dead. He's lying there dead." And the boy said, "His eyes are still there. His nose is still there. His ears are still there. His tongue is still there. What do you mean by dead? I still see him lying there. So how are you saying that he's dead?" Over and over again, he questioned them, "What does it mean?" And more as they thought about what it meant, he said, "If he's still lying there and you say he's dead, then you've never seen the king. You've said you knew the king. You said he was your father. You said you were his subjects, but you never actually saw him, because now he's gone, but his body is still there. All the limbs, all the senses are still there. So who did you ever see? You never saw the king." Then they asked him, "Who are you, boy?" And he said, "I am Yama. I am Yamaraj. And I've come here to instruct you about the science of life." And it's such a simple thing, actually. We hear this verse, "Dehino sminyata dehe." When Prabhupada spoke to learned scientists and professors, oftentimes he would invoke this verse. And he would say, essentially, what is the difference between a living body and a dead body? Can you tell me what is the difference between a living body and a dead body? Solve that problem. So many of the problems people are trying to solve, mostly how to adjust material nature in such a way that while I'm still in this body, I'll have some semblance of comfort. But answering this question, what's the difference between a dead body and a living body, barely ever comes to the fore. So this verse, Dehino Sminyata Dehe, Komaran Yovanam Jara, Tata Dehantara Praptya, Dhiras Tatra Namuyate, a dhira is someone who becomes aware of what is the difference between a dead body and a living body. Becomes aware of the difference between the machine, the body, and myself, who's the consciousness within the body. And this is the beginning of all spiritual life. Missing this, we miss everything. So Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaudadai Pushpamanto Chitro Shando Tamo Nudal. Just as imagine the sun and moon rising simultaneously on the horizon. Since it's been so rainy lately, the sun is blocked out for many days in a row, and people get depressed. In fact, when I stopped at a Shell gas station the other day, in the old days, people used to come and fill up your car, but nowadays, you have to fill up your own car. So I was filling up my car with gas, and they have a little television, because now there has to be a television everywhere, too. It's a television at the gas station, at the pump. And so when I was putting my card in the pump, and a little guy comes on and goes, "Hello, thanks for coming to Shell." And he began speaking to me. And there was a program on while I was filling up the gas tank, and it was about how people get depressed when it's dark. Because there's no sun. They get this light deficiency disorder where they can't function. So they recommend that you sit by a light. There's light panels, and try to get some light. And I was thinking this morning when I went out for a walk, and the sun was coming up, the sky was clear, and the light was out. Naturally, I felt happy because the light was coming again. So everyone's looking for this light. Actually, everyone wants the light. They want to know the source of the light. That's what everyone actually needs and wants, is the light. And that's coming from Krishna. Krishna is the source of all light. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, they appear in this world just like the sun and the moon arising simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda, to give that light to everybody without restriction, to let everyone understand how to actually find that light for themselves so they can be completely satisfied. And other than this topic, other than finding this light, everything else in life is a waste of time. And what we're really interested in, I will argue, is finding the soul, and then finding the soul of all souls. And whatever energy we use and turning our attention towards finding that soul of all souls, that is useful. And this is mentioned in the Shastra, that yat syat sarvata sarvada, one should search this out in all times, in all places, in all circumstances. Atato brahma jignasa, that now that you have full consciousness and facility in the human form of life, you must inquire about this. You must find out your source, Brahman. Who you are, what's the greatest, where you come from, what the source of your life is. And so Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, they're the source of that light. They're the source of our life. And by coming in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, through their process of self-realization, anyone from any part of the world can understand and appreciate the soul. And then they can come to understand and appreciate devotional service. Because Lord Nityananda, especially in assisting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is distributing this process of devotional service to everyone. We were reading earlier in the prayers of Lochan Das Thakur that Lord Nityananda went door to door to meet people. And when he'd come to their doors, he would beg them to take to the process of devotional service. Say, I'm begging one thing, simply take this process of devotional service. And sometimes he would roll on the ground in ecstasy, asking them to take the process of devotional service. And Lord Nityananda is the most merciful aspect of God. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described, Namo Mahavaranyaya Avatar. He's the avatar who's the most merciful, but even more merciful and unrestricted in his distribution of love of God is Lord Nityananda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him to go all over Bengal and to deliver all the people that he couldn't. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi and he was restricted where he could go. But Lord Nityananda had no restriction. He went everywhere. So once Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur went to meet two drunkards. They were the most sinful of all people, Jagai and Madhai. And everyone kept away from them because they were so evil that anyone who came near them would be beaten, they stole, they were dishonest in every way, and they had come from Brahmin families. So they were considered to be the most fallen of all people. So Lord Nityananda decided that to show the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his power to deliver others, we'll first go to them. And if they become devotees, then everyone will see the power of Lord Chaitanya. So when they first went to approach Jagai and Madai, all the people of the town of Nadia said, don't go. This is dangerous. Not only dangerous for you, dangerous for us too. It's like if there's a snake and someone starts poking it with a stick. And it's scary, actually. You know, you can get loose and start going after everybody else. Envious people, generally, we're supposed to leave them alone. This is the edict in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ishvare taradineshu balisheshu duisatsucha prema maitri kripopeksha yakaroti samadhyamaha, that a person who's going out to teach Krishna consciousness should look for people who are open and innocent. They're like, they're balis, and then you should give them mercy. And the people who are dvisatsu, or they're envious, and they hate you, they hate God, you're supposed to go around them and avoid them. But Lord Nityananda's process was different. His method was find the most envious, unqualified person and go to that person first. And that was his intention. And as he was going there, Haridas Thakur was wondering if this was a very good idea to approach these two rogues. And as they approached Jagai and Madai, they began to chase them away. And they ran, Nityananda and Haridas ran for their lives. But Nityananda Prabhu said, let's go back again. Let's induce them to chant Hare Krishna, to give up their debauched life. So he went back. And when he went back again and asked them, please take this mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, chant Hare Krishna. Then Madai, in a drunken rage, threw a pot and hit Lord Nityananda in the head, making a gash. And the word got out. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this had happened, and he ran there with his disciples, ready to kill these sinful brothers. And as he was in that rage and just calling for his chakra, Nityananda, in that condition, said, no, if you do this, it'll defeat the whole purpose of your mission. Let's deliver them anyway. And when Jagai heard this, he fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. And he urged Madai to do the same. And then they both fell down at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who accepted them. And it's legendary how he delivered Jagai and Madhai. He had made them into devotees. And everyone came to understand that they had become devotees. Later on, when Madhai, who had thrown the pot at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, had become a pure devotee, he was always crying. Tears were coming from his eyes because he was thinking how he had been so offensive to hit Nityananda Prabhu on the head with a pot. And he asked for some kind of service, some kind of penance that he could perform. So Nityananda Prabhu told him to build a bathing ghat that all the devotees could come to on the Ganga, and they could take their bath in a nice way. So with his own hands, he built a bathing ghat by the Ganga for the service of the Vaishnavas, who used to come there to take their bath in the Ganges. And each one he would meet, he would beg their forgiveness for all of his offenses. So Srila Prabhupada once said that if we want the mercy of Lord Nityananda, if we want the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we must get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And if we want the mercy of Lord Nityananda, then in order to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we need to approach Lord Nityananda. And in order to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, he said, we must approach Jagai and Madhai. It means that by doing the same thing that Lord Nityananda did, by going and making this endeavor to give Krishna consciousness to others, then we'll also get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And I was thinking also that in Kali Yuga, it's so difficult to do anything because, as it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prayanal Payusha Savya Kalavasmin Yugejana Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Pagya Hyupadrita. In this age of Kali Yuga, men are but short lives. They're quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. And this was spoken 5,000 years ago. What to speak of now? There's so much quarrel and there's so much disagreement amongst people everywhere that practically nobody can agree on anything. And it's very difficult to concentrate on spiritual life in this age of Kali. Very short lifespan. So we need special consideration in this age. We need a dispensation. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda have brought, a dispensation for those who are unfortunate in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is compared to an ocean of faults. It's all bad qualities. Kalir dosha nidheda jan astya hi kum hadguna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta banda parambrajet. In the age of Kali Yuga, it's an ocean full of faults. There's no good qualities. But Karabhajana Muni says there's one good thing about it, that simply by chanting the holy name, one can cross over the ocean of the age of Kali Yuga. So this is what Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were distributing, even amidst the most fallen people in the age. And anyone who takes part in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he brought it will get their mercy. We'll get the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. And this is called the Yuga Dharma. In this age of Kali Yuga, there's no other process recommended except for chanting the holy names of God. Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nastevana, Stevana, Steva Gatiranyata. In the age of Kali Yuga, there's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way than the process of chanting the holy names, chanting the holy names, chanting the holy names. It's mentioned in the Brihat Naradiya Purana 3 times for emphasis that this is the process to chant the holy names of God. So we see that when we go out to chant Hare Krishna in the streets, that people just walking by, when they hear the chanting of the holy names, they're immediately affected by it. When we were in Santa Cruz on New Year's Eve, we had some devotees chanting, and we also had a book table, and we were distributing prasadam. And it was like an oasis. In Santa Cruz, I can never figure out quite what's going on there, because it's such an affluent place, but there's so many homeless people at the same time. And everyone's a philosopher. Everyone I meet has some philosophy. And so I was standing watching the Harinam Sankirtan and observing just how nice it was. It was a beautiful day. And a man, probably 65 years old, walked up and stood next to me. And it looked like he had been wearing the same clothes for weeks. And he looked like he had been living outside for a long time. And he began to speak to me, and it turned out that he was actually well-read. He knew poetry, and he had read different kinds of literature. Again, Santa Cruz. A philosopher. And as he was pontificating and speaking to me about high philosophy, I was listening and being pleasant. And then as he is watching the devotees chanting right across the sidewalk, he said, "This is what the world needs." He practically broke down. He changed his whole tone, and he said, "This is the most important thing that the devotees are doing here, this kind of singing and chanting." And from talking to him, I had a sense that he didn't exactly know what it was. He wasn't sure about the history of the chanting or exactly what the Maha Mantra meant. But just standing there for a few minutes, he felt relief from the pangs of material existence, which are relentless. In the age of Kali Yuga especially, there's no shelter. There's no place you can go in this planet that I've found yet where you can get free from cell phones going off. In fact, I'll bet you anything one will go off while we're speaking. And if it's not that, it's something else. There's always some kind of disturbance coming from one direction or another in the Kali Yuga. So it's very hard to concentrate one's mind. And the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam speaks about how in the Kali Yuga, nature restricts, the government restricts. It used to be when you'd fly in an airline, they treat you like a king or a queen. I remember as a kid getting on the airline with my parents and thinking, wow, they really treat you good. And they don't do that anymore. You want a blanket? $5. Everything's restricting in Kali Yuga. And life's very difficult for people, even in affluent countries. Or especially in affluent countries, people can't afford to have insurance for health, for instance. And you have to have all kinds of backups systems, insurance for your car, insurance for your house, everything, just so you don't fall through the cracks and really go into a serious situation. You have to keep, as they say, paddling, you know, so you can stay above water. So this is material life. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda have brought a process by which anyone can be relieved from that. And it's described as Kevala Ananda Kanda. It's simply joyful. We were speaking earlier, before some of you got here, we sang a song called Parama Karuna. And it's about the two lords, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, and how they're the most merciful forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They come simply to give mercy. Just give it out to everybody. They don't consider who's fit or unfit candidate. Krishna would say, Sarva dharman parityaja mame kam sharanam braja. Aham tong sarva papi bu moksha yishami masuja. Surrender to me, then I'll deliver you. But Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya come and they just give it out to everyone without consideration. This is how the devotees glorify Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And their process, Kevala Ananda Kanda, it's so nice that the chanting, anyone who hears it, the Hare Krishna mantra being chanted anywhere and feels the vibration and sees the devotees dancing joyfully, that person becomes swept away by the mercy of the Lord, just by the hearing the chanting. So this was the process of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And everyone needs this. We need to have shelter, because there is no shelter in the material world through knowledge, through working hard, but we can get shelter from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the good news is, in the Kali Yuga age, he's appeared in the most merciful form of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So how to take shelter? To simply join with the devotees, Bolo Krishna, Bajo Krishna, Koro Krishna Shiksha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that this is what Nityananda Prabhu would distribute when he'd go door to door. A very simple message. Bolo Krishna. Just chant Krishna. In fact, this is something that Lord Nityananda used to do. Mentioned in the prayer by Lochan Das Thakur, that Nityananda Prabhu would go door to door, and then he'd ask people, Bolo Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. So we do this too. We're following the footsteps of Lord Nityananda, going door to door. We knock on the door. People come to the door. I would say about a third of the time, they just woke up. How many times we knock on the door and someone comes to the door in their pajamas? Happens all the time. And they look at us like, you just woke me up? This better be good. And we ask them what Lord Nityananda asks everyone. Just say Krishna. Say Hare Krishna. Because just by saying that, Yadabhaso pyudyan kavalita bhava dvanta vibhavo drisham tatvan danam apitishiti bhakti pranayane. Rupa Goswami says, it's so powerful that if you just say Hare Krishna, then even if you're in the darkest ignorance, even if you just woke up, even if you're completely unacquainted with what it is, if you say it, the syllables, Hare Krishna, then it can awaken you to bhakti. Even the person in the blindest ignorance. That's how powerful the holy name is. So this is the process that Lord Nityananda would distribute. And so, following the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, we'll also get the full benefit of their mercy. And this movement, the ISKCON movement, is designed to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. Everything about it is simply following in their footsteps. All the teachings that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, all the methodologies that Nityananda Prabhu enacted in order to distribute the holy name, this is what we do. So it's a simple thing to understand the soul and the body, but it requires mercy. And also the power to engage in spiritual life, this is called bala. It's spiritual strength. And we were reading earlier how precious the human life is. Labvam sudulabham idam sambhavante, that it comes through, after a transmigration through millions of different forms, the human life is so precious, because in the human form, I can actually perceive the soul and the super soul, and I can inquire what is God. No other form of life can do that. Every other form of life, well, practically every form of life, they have some kind of tongue. Do birds have tongues? Parrots do. I've seen them. And cats have tongues. Dogs have tongues. Who else has tongues? Tigers? Lizards? Lizards definitely have tongues. Who else? Giraffes? Elephants? But they can't chant Hare Krishna. They can't say the divine name of God. They can't say Hare Krishna. And most human beings, they also can't say Hare Krishna. They can eat with the tongue. They can say all kinds of things about business with the tongue. Early on in the movement, one devotee was telling Srila Prabhupada that his mother was very much against him being a devotee. And when she was dying, her son was trying to get her to say one time Hare Krishna. He said, Mom, please chant Hare Krishna. And she said, oh, shut up. And she died. So it's a rare thing to be able to to say Hare Krishna with the tongue. But where does that come from, that bala or that strength to say Hare Krishna? It comes from Lord Nityananda. He's the source of that, power to chant Hare Krishna. What to speak of, take a regulated vow, evam vrata sva priyanama kirta. If you take a vrat, that determination that I'm going to chant this all the time. We were talking earlier about what is shraddha. It means to have this faith that the holy name is so powerful that if I do this one thing, then all the other qualities that I need and all the other power that I need to advance in spiritual life will come if I just chant Hare Krishna. This strength comes from Lord Balaram. So that's Lord Nityananda. That's Lord Nityananda's mercy. He is the soul of our souls. And in fact, the only reason we're attracted to anybody else is because the soul is there. Ashcharyavat paschati kashchadenam. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that the soul is amazing. He's a part and parcel of Krishna. It's so amazing that if you look at any living entity, like look at anyone in this room, you see there's a conscious living being looking back at you. And that's amazing. That source of life is coming from Nityananda. Nityananda Balaram is the source of that amazing soul. So the real purpose of the human form of life is to develop more of this spiritual strength. And to get to do that, we need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And so in the Kali Yuga age, the simple thing for understanding this transmigration of the soul from boyhood to youth to old age, and that he has to leave that body and go into another body, and the way of avoiding the disaster of not thinking of God at the time of death, of simply transmigrating and losing the opportunity, that strength comes from Nityananda. And that is coming to us in a process that we can actually take, that we can do daily, that we can do it 24 hours a day, chanting the divine names of God, of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. It says in Bhaktivinoda's prayer and song about Narada Muni that when that's chanted in an assembly of devotees, it becomes a shower of nectarine. It's a shower of nectarine. And great devotees like Lord Shiva, when they hear that chanting, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he says, he lets out loud screams of joy. Can you imagine hearing Lord Shiva screaming in ecstasy in the kirtan? That's the power of the holy name. That power is coming from Nityananda, from Lord Nityananda. So this most auspicious day of Lord Nityananda's appearance day, we can remember that in Kali Yuga, everyone's disqualified. But he's come to give us the greatest qualification. He's come to give us this life of spiritual knowledge and of a practice that immediately connects us to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in sound. Mantra murtam amurtikam. Generally, it's very difficult to see God. Satyadeva Prabhu was pointing out yesterday that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that to see the Supreme Personality of God, it is called Durgyayam. It's very difficult. You can't see him. But the process of chanting Hare Krishna makes it easy, direct, to see the Supreme Personality of God. And Narada Muni says, Mantra Murtam Amurtikam, that in the mantra itself, the process of seeing God becomes easy. Murti means form, and it also means difficulty. And amurtikam means without difficulty you can see the Lord if you chant the holy names. Everyone could move up just by 5.2 inches. Hare Krishna. So today, tonight, we've come together to to honor, to celebrate the appearance day of Sri Nityananda Ram. And this is not it's not an ordinary appearance. It's not like the birthday of an ordinary person. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyakva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjana. This is how important the appearance of Krishna is. He says, my appearance in this world and my activities are completely transcendental. They're divyam. I mean, think about the word just for a second. The word divyam means divine. What does that mean, divine? When you see something that's actually, I mean, people talk about things as divine. They'll have there's a chocolate. It's divine. I think there's a truffle or something. It's called, you know, apricot divine or something like that. And it's used sort of in a casual way. But what is actually divine? Divine means coming from Krishna. And when Krishna makes his avatar, he appears in this world. His divine, eternal form, self, janma karma cha me divyam, he appears in the world. And whatever he does, all his activities, and his birth, all of that is completely divine and transcendental. It's something so inexplicably wonderful that just by thinking about it, Krishna says, and just by understanding it to some degree, you become extricated from this material world. Just by thinking about and remembering and knowing something about the birth and activities of Krishna, then you go beyond this world. This is the most important topic. So the appearance day of the Lord in his different avatars, like Lord Nityananda, who appeared today, is a topic that if we remember it and we understand it and we think about it and we understand that it's not ordinary, and just by hearing the pastimes of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna, then we don't have to take birth again in this material world. Tyakva deham, a very serious thing, means that when we give up this body, we no longer have to take birth again in another situation of material life. But we go back to the spiritual world. So we concentrate our attention morning, noon, evening, through the practice of Krishna consciousness, on remembering Krishna, remembering his pastimes. We do that by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Just by hearing the Bhagavatam, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantaksto Hibhadrani Vidunoti Suritsutam. It's the vibration is so powerful. It's Krishna himself. By hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, we gain this punya, this strength in spiritual life, this wealth to be able to practice spiritual life steadily. And we also lose all our unwanted habits just by hearing about Krishna. The devotee naturally develops all good qualities and becomes completely happy. This is the first quality of pure devotional service, is it's all auspiciousness. It's all auspicious for the devotee, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvastak, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana. Oh well, it'll come back. The verse for Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, says that by performing devotional service, all good qualities come out. And so, by taking the process, remembering Krishna, morning, afternoon, evening, by chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then we get the greatest wealth in life. And Nityananda Prabhu, if we pray to him and ask him for special help to do that, then he'll give us the strength. He is Balaram. It will give us the strength to be able to practice this and make a complete success of our life in this lifetime by the practice of devotional service. Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki. Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki. Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki. Go Premanande. Hari Hari Bo. Good to see everybody. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes. Yes. Can you pass the microphone?
I was thinking how much Srila Prabhupada is in the mood of Lord Nityananda. And I recently read a book by a god brother about the beginning of the movement in the UK. And there was one pastime when the devotees had met Srila Prabhupada at the airport, and they were having kirtan, and they were walking outside, and Srila Prabhupada was ahead with some devotees, and there was someone just sitting, and he was intoxicated, and he had a bottle of liquor in his hand. And as the devotees were coming by chanting, he just raised his bottle and said, "Cheers." And Prabhupada tapped it with his cane. And then he turned back to the devotee and said, "His devotional life has begun." So that's all it takes, the drop of mercy like that. Sorry.
What else? Satya? Okay, pass him the mic.
Well, I noticed the this morning when I got up, it was still dark out, but the moon was just about full. And I was thinking, like you were mentioning today, how we're all looking for light. And whenever we see a little light, we feel happiness. And when we don't have that light, just like in Seattle and places where it rains all the time, they have a higher incidence of depression and alcoholism and a lot of problems. Although we are that light in the material world, because we're identifying with it, we suffer from darkness. There's an apparent suffering for some time. And Lord Nityananda, you know, when I saw the full moon, I thought of Lord Nityananda, and I thought, wow, today's my day. Because you know, we're little sparks, and we need to be back into the fire. And unless we're in that fire on our own, we don't have much glow power. And as soon as we get away from the fire, that little spark begins to cool off and get dim. Even though it's still fire, if you step on a little spark, you'll get burnt. But you can't see the spark. You know, sparks fly out of the fire and they lose their glow, but they're still burning there on the ground. And, you know, today I was feeling, I should always feel how helpless I am, but today I was feeling a little, noticing how helpless I am and how much in need I am of Lord Nityananda's mercy, and how much I'm tormented, really, by the mind and the body and my identification with it. And it's just a constant thing. But by Lord Nityananda's mercy, by remembering him and taking shelter, then gradually the ignorance can be removed. And he doesn't have any judgment at all. He just has unlimited compassion and love, and is just waiting to give out the mercy. All we have to do is ask. And so I remember last year and the previous appearance days of Lord Nityananda, I kind of go through this same process of thinking, wow, why wasn't I praying like this all year long? Why is it just today? I'm in need every day, and the mercy is always there. But at least today I remembered him, and I feel fortunate that we're all here together praying for the mercy of Lord Nityananda, because in numbers there's power. You know, we not only need the help of Lord Nityananda, we also need the help of each other. And in association, it becomes easier to chant and be humble and pray for mercy and to get that mercy and to feel it.
Thank you. Since you mentioned that association, I wanted to say one other thing about Lord Inanda's special quality, and that is that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had traveled in South India, he took a servant with him named Kala Krishnadas. And as he was coming back towards Jagannath Puri, Kala Krishnadas became distracted from the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was a group of kind of like gypsies, and they had some women that had this way of attracting people and bringing them into their camp. So somehow or other, Kala Krishnadas was attracted by them, and he ran away. And he actually went and he joined their camp. And Mahaprabhu found out that his servant had run away and gone with these gypsies. So he went after him. And he went into the camp. He found his servant, Kala Krishnadas, and he dragged him back. You know, he had to pull him back by the hair. And there was some altercation because these Bhattaharis came after him. And when Mahaprabhu came back to Jagannath Puri, he called some of the devotees together in his room and he said, Kala Krishnadas, he came with me, South India, to render service. And look what he did. He ran off. He said, I release him from my service. Basically, he was rejecting him. He was taking away his service. Kala Krishnadas began to cry and weep. He realized that what had happened, he lost his service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu got up and walked out. And the devotees became concerned for Kala Krishnadas. So they conspired. And Lord Nityananda was the main conspirator, along with Mukunda and a couple other devotees. They began to talk about how to get Kala Krishnadas back into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's service, even though he had fallen down in a really unusual way. So they went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they said, we have an idea. We need somebody to go back to Navadvip to tell Mother Sachi and Advaitacharya and all the devotees that you've come back from South India, because they don't know yet. And their idea was, we'll send Kala Krishnadas. They didn't tell Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exactly what they had in mind, but he knew what they were up to. And he said, send whomever you like. So they said, Kala Krishnadas, you have this service now. Go to Navadvip. And he was the big hero, because he got to go and tell Mother Sachi and Advaitacharya and everybody, who would be in ecstasy to see him as the messenger, would be also exalted in that service of telling them. So this association with devotees is so important. And one aspect is that, you know, we worship Krishna in the form of his deity. And, you know, we chant Hare Krishna, but it's so important that we have loving relations with the devotees. To worship the deity or to chant Hare Krishna and then disregard the devotees or not have good relations with devotees is not pleasing to Krishna. In fact, Jiva Goswami mentions that it's like performing a fire yajna and pouring ghee onto ashes. There's no result from that. So another aspect of Lord Nityananda's process and mercy is that we should look out to all the devotees in our community, and we should see to their welfare. We should think about, how are they engaged in devotional service? How to bring them closer? How to encourage them in Lord Chaitanya's service? And if we do that, that's actually Lord Nityananda's mood, his method. And that is especially pleasing to Krishna when we're careful about taking care of all of Krishna's devotees and all his other parts and parcels, whoever we meet, to give them an opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness, to be kind to all living entities, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, is a quality that's very dear to him. Kishore, did you bring the Nityanandashtakam? Okay, so here's the thing. This is a yajna, because we're all sitting in one room together, but it's a good thing. We're gonna sing one ashtakam now for Lord Nityananda, and that'll require we turn the lights on and that we move up a little bit more. And right after we do that, then we're gonna stand up and we're gonna have an artik, and everyone can chant Hare Krishna to their heart's content. As you're moving up by 4.7 inches, I'm going to read the translation, and then by the time you get all the sheets, then we'll chant the Ashtakam together for Lord Nityananda. Is everyone all right? No? Yes? See, there's plenty of room. Okay, now, when we read this Ashtakam, you really got to sing loud. It'll invoke the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Translation, yes? Sure. We need some air. We got nothing against air. Translations. Shall we read it together, or do you want to hear it singularly? Okay, let's read it together. You ready? Now, here's the thing. English is a kind of an irregular language. So in order to stay in harmony and in sync, you have to observe the punctuation. So if you see a comma, slow down. And then a period, stop at the period. And the thing is, you don't have to go fast. Just try to stay at the same pace everyone else is doing so we can hear it all together. Are you ready? I perpetually worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree, whose bright face mocks the full autumn moon, whose pure complexion glistens, whose gait is like that of a maddened elephant, who is always intoxicated in Krishna Prema, who embodies pure spiritual energy, whose face holds a gentle smile, always rolling due to his absorption in Krishna Prema. Lotus hand holds a glowing staff, and who, by the performance of Nam Sankirtan, pierces the influence of Kali Yuga. I perpetually worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree, who is the mainstay of all the rasas, who is everything to his devotees, who is beyond compare, who is the master of both Vasudha and Janava Devi, more dear than their own lives, who is always maddened in Krishna Prema, and who is unknown only to those of meager intelligence. I perpetually worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree, who is very dear to Sri Sachinandana, who is worshipped by the entire universe, who is the embodiment of happiness, who possesses infinite mercy for delivering the souls who are drowning in the age of Kali, and who by the performance of Harinam Sankh thwarts the progressing false pride of the ocean of repeated birth and death. I perpetually worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree, who said to Sri Krishna Chaitanya, "Hey, brother Gauranga, what will be the destination of the sinful souls of Kali Yuga, and how will they be redeemed? Please devise a method by which they will easily attain you." I perpetually worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree, who wandered around Bengal and approaching the door at each and every home, threw open his arms and exclaimed, "Oh, brothers, all of you should eternally perform Sri Harinam Sankirtan together. By doing so, I will take the responsibility to deliver you all from the ocean of material existence. I eternally worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree, who is the Agastya Muni, who forcibly swallows the ocean of repeated birth and death, who is a full increases the ocean of a saintly person's welfare, and who is a sun which dissipates the darkness of ignorance cast by the various classes of miscreants. I eternally worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the tree of Krishna Bhakti, who wandered on every path in Bengal, dancing, singing, and calling out, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, and who lovingly bestowed merciful sidelong glances upon those who were not compassionate to even their own selves. I eternally worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree, who held the supremely soft lotus hand of his brother Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, whose heart became filled with the highest bliss when the two brothers gazed into each other's faces, and who wandered here and there, delighting the townspeople with his sweetness. May Sri Nityananda Prabhu place his lotus feet in the heart of one who lovingly recites this unprecedented Nityanandashtakam, which is the reservoir of rasa, the greatest treasure of the most exalted of rasikashnavs, and the storehouse of the essence of bhakti rasa. This ashtaka is sung in the melody known as Shikharini. Vajay Nitya.